Here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tzadi. We're beginning on the very top line, the end of the line with the words Toshma. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Benjamin Bloom Binyamin Bemosha Cohen. All the neshamos we learned for 7 Aliyah from our learning. Now we're in the middle of a long discussion where Rav Chisda had made a statement that the Chachamim have the power to be Oker Dovim in HaTorah. And Rabbi asked him, where do you find that the Chachamim indeed do have the power to be Oker Dovim in HaTorah, to uproot something in the Torah? And Rav Chisda gave several explanations for this yesterday, and each one Rabbi schlugged up and said, no, that's an individual specific situation that doesn't give us a general klal for Chachamim being able to be Oker Dovim in HaTorah. So we pick up today, again, the end of the very first line, Daf Tzadi Omer Aleph, Rav Chisda continuing to try to prove to Rabbah where the Chachamim have a source to be Oker Dovim in HaTorah. Toshmai brings down the following brisa. Achal Truma Temeya, if a person ate Truma Temeya, so this is talking about a non-Kohen, no Kohen or non-Kohen is allowed to eat Truma Temeya, but a Kohen who eats it doesn't have to pay a financial penalty. A non-Kohen who inadvertently eats this Truma Temeya, by accident, Bishogig, he ate this Truma Temeya, so the Braisa tells us, Meshalim Chulin Tahorin, he has to go and pay Chulin to replace this Truma that he ate, and that Chulin will turn into Truma. It has the status halachically of Truma. So now the Kohen, who had originally Truma Temeya, will now have it replaced with Chulin, that is Tahorin, that will now become Truma. What happens if Shilem Chulin Temeim, if this non-Kohen who ate the Truma Temeya replaced it with Chulin that were Temeim, so that Chulin Temeim that was replacing the Truma Temeya becomes the status of Truma, and in this situation, Sumchas Omer Mishum Rib Meir, if he did this Bishogeg, Tashlumov Tashlumim, then we consider this a valid compensation, a valid repayment of the Truma Temeya that was eaten by accident, and that's because it was done Bishogeg. So Sumchas says in the name of Rav Meir that this is acceptable Bidyevet, Tashlumov Tashlumim, if this was done Bishogeg. However, B'mezid, if he intentionally went and paid back the Truma Temeya that he ate with Chulin that were Temeyin, so then if he did this B'mezid, ain't Tashlumov Tashlumim. This is not considered a valid Tashlumim. The Chacham disagreed. Chamumim echozev echozev, whether it was b'mezid, whether it was b'shogeg, tashlumov tashlumim. The tashlumim is valid. It does take effect. However, the chozer mishalim chulin tahorim, but we cons him, and he has to go and repay again with chulin that are tahorim to repay for the truma tzmeya that he ate. Now, on this brisa, we asked about Sumchas Omer Mishum Rav Meir the following. Rav Sumchas said in the name of Rav Meir, B'mezid ain't tashlumov tashlumim. You said that if he did this intentionally, the tashlumim isn't considered a good tashlumim. Gemara says, why? Tavo olav bracha. The guy did a good thing. He ate truma tmeya. He's paying it back. So even though he's paying it back with chulin that were now going to become truma and their tamei, the chulin tmeim, nevertheless, one could argue that the chulin tamei that he took was worth more than the truma tmeya that he inadvertently ate. And therefore, he's actually doing a good thing. He's at least paying back equivalent to what he ate. Possibly, one could argue, it was even worth more. So he lost more than he actually gained. So therefore, tovol lebracha. This person's an honest person. Bottom line is, he's repaying exactly what he ate. He ate truma tmeya. He's repaying it with chulim tmeyim, which were more expensive than the truma tmeya. And albeit, it does turn into, now, truma tmeya. So he's paying back at least what he ate. So why do we say that ain't tashlum of tashlumim? The Komeshale Midi, the Kochozi Lebi made Tumaso. Because at least in theory, he gave him something which the Kohen could eat during his Yimei Tuma. Because Chul and Tumayin are allowed to be eaten by a Kohen who is Tomei. And therefore, the Omar Rava, Rava said, Vyamele Kedi, others say it was this either this Tamu Chacham named Kedi, or it just meant it was not attributed to a specific Tamu Chacham. Chisuri Mechzvachitani. We're missing something over here. To make this understandable, you have to insert the following words. Avol Truma Temeya, if in fact the non-Kohen ate Truma Temeya, Mishalim Koldu. He's allowed to pay it back with anything. Koldu means any small amount, because the Truma Temeya is not worth very much. It's only allowed to be used for firewood. It's only allowed to be used to light a fire. So it's not worth a lot. And therefore, technically, Mishalim called who? But, Achal Truma Tahora, if in fact the non-Kohen by accident ate Truma Tahora, then Mishalim Chulin Tahorin, then he must pay him back with Chulin Tahorin, because that Chulin Tahorin will then become Truma. And since he ate Truma Tahora, he has to pay him back with Truma that will be Tahora. And in this situation, and only in this situation, if he paid him back with Shilim, Chulin, Tmeyin, now he's giving him something that's worth less. So if he paid him back with Chulin, that are Tmeyin, which will now become Truma, that it's Tmeya, and he can't argue that he paid him back the same thing. So Sumcha says, Omer Mishum Rebmeyin, then he Rebmeyin. It depends. Bishogeg, if he did this by accident, he didn't realize that it was Chulin, Tmeyin that he was paying him back, and now he paid him back, and it turns out that this Chulin, Tmeyin turned into Truma, Tmeya. So he paid him back with something that was worth less. The Truma Temeya is worth much less than Truma Tahora. But if he did this Bishogeg, Sumcha says in Rameya, Tashlum of Tashlumim, it does work b'di'evet. But Bishogeg, it works. However, b'meizim, if he did this intentionally, ain't Tashlum of Tashlumim. In this situation, the Tashlumim aren't considered Tashlumim at all. And the Chum disagree. Chumumim bein Bishogeg bein b'meizim, Tashlum of Tashlumim. They say that the Tashlumim worked. The bottom line is, he paid him back. But at the same time, the chozer mishalim chulin tahorin, but we cons him, and he has to go repay it again with chulin tahorin that will turn into truma tahora. So that's the full understanding of this price. And how is it approved to Rav Chiska's idea that the chacham have the power to be okay davim in the Torah, to answer Rabbah's question? So he says, the Gemara, v'hocha d'midaraisa tashlumim al yahave. Now, the bottom line is, according to Sumchas, in the name of Rav Meir, this was tashlum of tashlumim. It really does work. De'i mikadesh bu kohen isha. If the kohen were then to go and take this, it's worth a shava pruta. It's not worth a lot, but it's worth a shava pruta. So he would be mikadesh the woman with this shava pruta's worth of oil that is tumeya. Tovsu lo kiddushay. The kiddushin would take effect. So how could the chachamim say v'amor rabbanon ain tashlum of tashlumim? They say that it doesn't take effect because sharinon eishes hisliyama. So if in fact the chachamim say it doesn't take effect, so the kohen, so to say, doesn't get it. So then, in this situation, midaraisa, the kohen did get it, and if he'd been mekamish a woman, she would in fact be an eishes ish. But Sumcha says in the name of Meir that no, ain tashlum of tashlumim. In other words, it doesn't belong to the kohen, and therefore the kusharina eishes hisliyama. So this kiddushin we say doesn't take effect midirabanan, even though it took effect midaraisa. And you see, therefore, Rav Chisda says that the chachamim have the power to be okay dov min haTorah. Min haTorah, this woman is an eishes ish daraisa. But the rabbis have the power to say no, that's not true. So what does Rabbi say to this? Rabbi says, my ain't tashlum of tashlum in the Chomer Rebbeir. What that Sumcha said in the name of Rebbeir, that ain't tashlum of tashlum. What did that really mean? So it meant the boy lemed tashlum echulin tahorin. Well, it meant that he has to go give chulin tahorin. It's not that the truma didn't take effect. That which he gave him did take effect. It does belong to the kohen, and therefore the chacham will not oker anything. This woman would be an hsh if the kohen had been giving this as kiddushin to a woman. So therefore, the Chachamim are not okay davim in the Torah, and all Sumchas is saying in the name of Rav Meir is that you have to go and give again Chulin Tahorin to repay the debt that you ate the coins Truma Temeya by accident. Or says, if that's true, Ihachi, says in Sumchas and Rabbanan. So what's the difference between Sumchas Mishum Rav Meir and the Chachamim? They both say that Chozim Shalim Chulin Tahorin. So what says the obvious answer, Om Ravacha Brid Ravika, Konsu Shogi Gotu Mezid Ika Benayu. No, there's a difference in regards to the shogeg. According to Sumchis in the name of Rav Meir, so b'shogeg, tashlum of tashlumim, and you don't have to go and be chozer u'mashalim chulun tahorin, because it was done b'shogeg, and they don't make a gzera, shogeg or tumezid. Whereas the Chacham say, no, if we do not require you to go and do this when you do it b'shogeg, so then people aren't going to do it b'mezid as well. So therefore, the Chachamim, they will go there, Shogeg got to mezid, and that's the source of the machlokes between Sumchas Mishum Rav Meir, who says we're not gozer shogeg got to mezid, and the Chacham who say we are gozer shogeg got to mezid. But in regards to mezid, both of them say that the kohen does get the first truma tmei that was given to him, and in addition, he has to get a second mishalim chulin tahorin from the person who inadvertently ate the truma tmei that the kohen originally had. So again, Rav Chisda tried to prove here is the Torah allows the Chacham to allow a Dover in the Torah to be Oker, and Rabbah showed that that's not correct. Try again. Toshma. Rav Chisda says, the following Bryce is going to prove my point that the Chacham have the power to be Oker Dover in the Torah. What about Dam Shenitmu? If you have blood of a Korban that became Tomei, and nevertheless Uzrako, and the Kohen went and did the Zriko with his Dam that's Tomei. So the Bryce says, if this was done by accident, Bishogeg, then Hurtza. However, b'mezid, if they knew that it was tummy and they did the zrik anyway, lo hurtza, it doesn't work. Now, how is this a proof to Rav Chisda's idea that the Torah can be nekar, some a din in the Torah can be uprooted by the chacham? Because he says, v'ha, hocha midiraisa artsuye miratze. In this situation, when you have the tummy blood, so midiraisa, the tzitz is allowing it to be miratze. Where do we know that? The Tanya, the Braisa says, Al Mahatzitz Meratza, the Kohen's frontlet, as it's called. This is one of the big tekuna, the Kohen Gadol. So he wears the tzitz, and the tzitz is capable of being Meratza for certain things that are Tomei to allow the process of that avoda to go through. So the Braisa tells us the tzitz is Meratza, Al Hadam, if you have the blood that became Tomei, or Al Habos, or Al Chelev Shinitmo, or you have the boss of the Chelev that became Tomei, there are certain opinions that hold that you can't do the Zrika unless you still have at least a Kezayis of boss or a Kezayis of Chelev that is not Tomei, that can be either be eaten or can be sacrificed on the Mizbeach. So according to this Braisa, if you have Dam, or Basar, or Chelev, and they're Tomei, when you normally would not be allowed to do the Zrika, if it wasn't for the Tzitz, so the Tzitz is Meratza, the Tzitz allows you to go and still do the Hazor of this Dam. Bein Bishogi, Bein Memezit, and this is true whether you did this Bishogi or Memezit, Bein Ba'onis, Bein Meratza, whether you did it by accident or you did it intentionally. The Mepharshim always point out that Bemezit and Baratzo mean the same thing, but Shogeg and Ones, they mean a different thing, so we use different terminology. For Shogeg, we call it Mezit as the counterbalance, and by Ones, we call it Ratzo. But Mezit and Ratzo mean the same thing, you did it intentionally, whereas Shogeg, it was unintentional, and Ones is something that was outside your control. So there's a difference between Shogeg and Ones, albeit there's no difference between Mezit and Ratzo. In any event, this is true, Ben Biyoch Ben Mitzibu, when it's for an individual korban or a communal korban. So we see clearly from this Braisa that the Tzitzim is a Ratzo. Now, going back to our original Braisa, we had brought down that if it was Tomei blood and they did the Zrika, the Braisa said only Bishogeg is it Hurtza, the Mezid lo Hurtza. Now, if Bemezid lo Hurtza, the original Braisa therefore would say that you have to go and bring a new animal to fulfill your obligation or to fill whatever carbon you were bringing. Bemezid lo Hurtza goes against the idea that the Tzitz is a Ratza. So what do you see? The Amir Rabbanan, in that first Braisa, the Chazal said, lo Hurtza. If you did it b'mezit, it doesn't accomplish the hurtza, it doesn't accomplish the ritzoi, and the carbon's not accepted. For kohadur, therefore, the person's going to go back, ma'ayil chulin lazar, bring another carbon. But this carbon is not required midaraisa. This carbon was unnecessary midaraisa, because the tzitz was meratza, and the first time it should have been good. So what do you see from here? Rechista says, the chachamim had the power to be okay, davar min haTorah. The min haTorah, this carbon was accepted. And the chachamim said, no, it's not accepted, and you have to bring a new carbon, and that would normally be chulin bazorah if there was no requirement to do so. But you see that the chachamim had the power to be okay, davar min haTorah. This is Rechista's answer to Rabbah. And again, Rabbah says, no. Amar Rav Yosi bar Chanina, Rav Yosi bar Chanina says, my lo hurtza the karma. When it said over here in the first braisa lo hurtza b'meizi lo hurtza, it only meant lahatir basar b'achila. It doesn't allow the basar to be eaten. However, avo ba'alim niskaperbo. But the ba'alim did get the kapara, and in this situation, there is no dover min haTorah that's being nekar by the chachamim. So Rav Yosi bar Chanina responds, so to say, on behalf of Rabbah to Rav Chisda, that no, your proof again is no good, because in this situation, the tzitz is meratza, so there's nothing that's being nekar min haTorah. No. All it is telling us is that you don't have the right to go and eat the basar in this situation, even though the basar is not tamei, but since the blood was tamei, so you don't have the right to eat the basar. Abu Balam niskabrabo, but the Balam do get a kapara. Bottom line, Rav Chisda said, so here, I still have a proof. So, the bottom line is, komisakra achilas basar. So you're not allowing the basar to be eaten. Now the basar is supposed to be eaten as a mitzvah to eat the basar. The basar is not tamei, only the blood was tamei, and the tzitz is miratza. So therefore, you should be allowed to go and eat the basar. So you see, uksivi achlu osam asher kupa behem. There is a mitzvah to go eat the basar when it's not tamei, and therefore, belami shakohanim ochlu mubalim iskaper. Normally, the kohanim eat and the balim get the kapara. But you see, from here, Rav Chisda is saying, here is my proof that the chacham had the power to be okedar in a Torah. Min haTorah is supposed to eat the basar. The tzitz was miratza, and therefore, you should be able to eat the basar that's tar. And therefore, since you can't, you see that the chacham had the power to be up. A dover shebet Torah. That's Rav Chisda's answer to Rabbah again. But Rav Yosi bar Chanina says on behalf of Rabbah Amalei, Shev the Altase Shine. This is different. Here we're saying don't do something. We're not oker dover bet Torah with an action, a specific doing, a maisa, but we're saying don't do something, don't eat. So it's a lack of doing something, which is what we call a Shev the Altase. Sit tight, but Altase. And that's different. There, we know the Chachamim have the power to say, shave the altase, don't do something. Where the Chachamim you haven't shown have the power is to say, go do something that's keneged haTorah. So to go and eat the meat is a mitzvah. But the rabbis have the right to say, don't eat the meat, shave the altase. But you can't see from here. Rav Yosef Chanina says to Rav Chisda, you can't see from here that the Chachamim have the power to say, go and do a Maisa that goes against the Torah. And we turn to Tzadi Omud Beis, where Rav Chisda says, now that you say this, you schlugged up all my other attempts to prove my Shita as well. Amalei, Rav Chisda says back to Rav Yosef Chanina and or to Rabbah, and he says, Ba'i la'osavach, I was going to go and prove to you that I'm right from all of the following situations, which the Gemara is now going to list a whole bunch of situations which are ultimately shevi al tase, from an orel. If you have a person who is converting from being a goy to being a yid on Erev Pesach, so Beis Hillel said that we don't go and shech the korban Pesach on his behalf, even though mi d'oraisa, he's a perfectly full-fledged yid, and he could eat the korban Pesach, but there's a concern that next year he's also going to become Tomei, and he's going to think, last year all I did was go to the mikvah and I became Tar, so this year I can also go to the mikvah and just become Tar. But he's not going to realize that this year he has to wait 7 days because he was Tomei Tumas Meis. And last year, even though he was a guy and he was considered like he was Tomei Tumas Meis, but he really wasn't Tomei Tumas Meis, and therefore last year technically he could have gone to the mikvah and had the Korban Pesach shechted. So the Chacham said, no, shevi al tase. Don't let the Oral go and have the Korban Pesach shechted on the end because it lead to a takola. But what they did was say, shevi al tase. Don't let the Oral eat the Korban Pesach. They didn't say, go and eat something that you're not allowed to eat. So therefore, that's shevi al tase. Likewise, Hazor, if the person would Tomei, and he needed to have the Azor done on the 3rd and the 7th day, and now the 7th day was Shabbos, Erev Pesach, so if you done the Azor, he could eat the Korban Pesach, but since the rabbi said it's a Shavuos, don't do the Azor on Shabbos, so therefore we don't do the Azor, even though in this situation, it will mean that he can't eat from the Korban Pesach. Again, this is Shev Altase, don't do something in order that we protect, so people don't end up doing other things that the rabbis were concerned about. So they made a gzeira here, don't do this, Shev Altase, even though it's going to mean that he won't bring the Korban Pesach. Vizemo, likewise, the Chacham didn't allow you to go and carry on Shabbos for a bris milah that's supposed to be done on the 8th day, in a domain that was only also midarabonim, but was mutar midaraisa. So again, the Chacham said, even though midaraisa, you'd be allowed to go bring the Yizemel to do the bris mila on this baby on Shabbos on the 8th day, midarabonim, we're not letting you do this. Again, shevi al tase. Likewise, sadi mitzitzis. If you have a linen garment, so you have to put the chelis in this linen garment, and the tchelis is wool, and there'd be a problem of shatnis. So the Chacham said, no, don't go and do this. Don't put the sadin bitzitzis in this situation, because it's going to lead to a potential takola of shatnis. And therefore, there are certain garments that don't require tzitzis, that the person will mistakenly put on tzitzis on, like a night garment, and therefore, he'll end up having, over here, a problem of shatnis. So the rabbi said, shev altase, don't put on this four-cornered linen garment tzitzis properly. And therefore, shev altase. Mekivsi atzeres, likewise, on Shavuos, which comes out on Shabbos. So if by accident you shechted a Kivsi Atzeres, which is a Korban Shlomim, which is brought on Shavuos with the Shtei Halechem, but you made a mistake. If you didn't do it Lishma, you thought it was a private individual Korban Shlomim. Now you shechted it on Shabbos. So in this situation, we don't allow you to go do the Zrika of the Dam. Rashi says over here in Dibur HaMaschu, the Kivsi Atzeres, Loki Batim Rosa, I didn't get this shot from my rebellion, but Rashi says this is the Emes Dikashat, that normally on a weekday if you shech the Korban Shalol Lishmon, so you're allowed to go do the Zrika and you're allowed to eat the Behema, whatever is allowed to be eaten from it by the Kohanim, by the Yisraelim, etc. However, it's just not Ola for your obligation and you'll have to go bring a new one for your obligation. But here, since it was shechted on Shabbos, so we can't say that. So this is another example of the Chacham saying Shev Yatase. And likewise, two familiar ones that everybody's familiar with, Shofar Lulav, when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos and Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, so then we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shcholios B'Shabbos, and likewise when Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, we don't shake our lulav and esrog. Why not? There's a mitzvah d'oraisa that we're supposed to do this, but the Chacham said no. We're concerned Shema Yavirin Dalal Amos B'Shus Rabbim. We're concerned that a person doesn't know how to blow shofar, doesn't know how to shake the lulav, doesn't know how to do the nanuim, and he's going to go carry the lulav and esrog in a Rishus Rabbim. That's going to be a problem. So therefore, the rabbi said, Shevi al tase. So all of these situations, Rav Chisda was originally going to say, look here, you see that the Chazal have the power to be okay, Dovim in a Torah. But as Rabbah and Rav Yosi Bar Chanina had said, these are examples of Shevi al tase. And Shevi al tase doesn't prove that the Chum have the power to do something to be over an Isser in the Torah by active. They can say Shevi al tase, but they can't say tase velo shev. And therefore, Rav Chisda says, Hashto, Dishonis lo shevi al tase, lo miyaku, since you've proven me wrong, and saying that Shev al Tasi doesn't prove my point, so then Kulu Nami, Shev al Tasi, then all of these are Shev al Tasi, and the bottom line is, I don't have an answer from any of these to you that the Chacham have the power to be okay, Dovim in a Torah. So I'll try again, Toshma. The Pasuk says, a love tishmuun. When a Navi comes and says you should do something, so you have to listen to him, even if it's a Horash Shah, and it's okay, Dovim in a Torah. As we see, afilu omelcha over al achas b'kol mitzvah shebetorah can go to Eliyahu b'har Karmel. Eliyahu was living in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and you're not allowed to bring a carbon on a private bama. You're only allowed to bring it in the Beis Hamikdash. And nevertheless, Eliyahu and Har Karmel, the famous battle with the Nevi Habal, where Eliyahu brought his par, and it was fire was sent down from a Shemayim. If the Nevi Habal tried to bring their par, and no fire came down from Shemayim, and Eliyahu did what would technically be something that would be also to go bring a private carbon on a bama during this Zman of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, you see that a love tishmon, the Torah tells us that you can listen to the Navi to be okay, Dovim in a Torah. So therefore, Shmalo, you have to listen to him. So therefore, Rav Chisda says, so too if the Chazal say, it's not only Navi, even if Chazal say, you have to be okay, Dovim in a Torah, you're allowed to do so. So Rabbi says, no, shiny hasam. There you have a specific pasuk, a dispensation from the pasuk, tichsiv, a law of tishmon. But that doesn't give you a carte blanche to say it in every other situation that the chacham have the power to be okedavish in the Torah. No, why not? The ligmor minei, just like Eliyahu, the Nevi'im, are given that power, so too Chazal should have that power. So Rabbi says, no. Rabbi would say, migdar milso shiny. This was a unique case. As Rashi points out, Dira Maskil Migdar Milsa, Lasos Geder Vitakona, to make a special, specific fence and a takana around the terrible ideas that they were having Nebuch Avodas Kochavim. So therefore, Eliyahu had to do something drastic. That was a Migdar Milsa. That was a unique situation, a one-time situation, that you can't give a general a heter to the Chazal to be Okei Dovim in a Torah. So this is unique, and therefore, you can't learn this out. Rav Chisda tries again. Toshma. Rav Chisda says, Bitlo. Here we're talking about a man who gave a get to his wife, but he sent it via Shaliach. Once he gives the get to his wife and the wife receives it, either herself or Shaliach or the Shlichei Ha'isha, so then the woman is divorced. But until the point that the woman actually takes the get into her possession or into her Shlichim's possession, so the woman is not considered divorced. The fact that the husband wrote a get, if he hasn't given it yet, then that's not a get. So the husband writes a get and he sends it via Shlichim to the wife, but then he changes his mind. Bitlo. So Midda Raisa, this bitl works. So therefore, this get is no longer a valid get. However, Bitlo Mivuto Divri Rebbe. While Rebbe agrees this is a terrible thing because it leads to a takala, nevertheless, if he did a bitl before the get was brought into the woman's possession, even though the shlichim don't know this, and the woman doesn't know this, and she's going to act like she's no longer a married woman and get married to somebody else, and Rachmona Litzlan, she'll commit adultery unintentionally, and the children will be on the Zerim unintentionally. Nevertheless, Rebbe says, technically you're allowed to do this. You shouldn't do this, it's wrong, but it technically the get would be mevutal if he is mevatalit, just even though it's not in the presence of the shaliach or the wife. Shimon Galil disagrees. Shimon Galil, man, what are you talking about? And Yochel Lolo Vatlo, the Lolo Sifal, to know he cannot go be Bevatlo once he sends it to Shlichim. And he can't add any additional conditions, a Tanoim, to this get. A person can say whatever Tanoim he wants to on a get. Says this will be effective if you give me $100. If you don't give me $100, the get's not effective. So whatever he said originally and gave it to the Shaliach to give to the wife, that he's allowed to have as a Tanoim of the get. But he can't add on any other ones. Originally he said, give me $100, you're divorced. Now he said, no, I want to make it $1,000 and you'll be divorced. He can't add on to it. So he can't be Mabatalit, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, and he can't add on to the Tanoim because otherwise, him Cain, Makoch based in Yofet. So then, what good is it that the Chachamim said that you're not allowed to go and be mevatel get once you sent it? If it still takes effect, like Rebbe said, so then of what value is the Chachamim's takana to say that it's not a good idea to do this? All it is, it's not a good idea, but if it takes effect, so then what power does the Chachamim have? So Rebbe said it's just the idea. And Rav Shimon Willis says, no, in that situation, the Chachamim would have no power whatsoever, and therefore the Chachamim do have the power to uproot this bittul that the husband did, and in fact, his bittul doesn't take effect according to Shimon Galil, and the woman is considered truly a divorced woman. Now, Rav Chisda says, here's my proof. The midaraisa batel get. Midaraisa, the husband was able to be mevatel get, and the rabbis were oker dovim in a Torah, and they said, Mishum ma koach basin, otherwise, what power does basin have? But you see that they were able to go make this woman, who's a married woman, into a person, a woman, who's able to go marry anybody else. So they were oker this Dovim in HaTorah, that the get is, in fact, invalid, and they said, no, the get is valid. So this is a real maisa that they did. So Rav Chisda says, here's my proof that the Chachamim have the power to be Okedom in the Torah. So Rabbi says, no, that's still not a good proof. Because when he gave the woman originally Kedushin many, many years ago, Man de Mekadesh, when he gave that Kedushin, it was only Adayt to the Rabbanim Mekadesh. He only gave it on the Das of the Chachamim. That's what we say. Harab Mekadeshli, Das Moshe v'Yisrael. It has to be that your Mekudesh is only with the approval, so to say, of Beis Din. And now, when this person did this rotten thing, trying to cause trouble to his wife by letting her think that she's divorced and she'll get married to somebody else, and then he'll come along and say, aha, I went to the Beis Din and I was Avatel Leget, so you're not really a free woman, and you're Mizana, and your children are Mamserim, and you're now losing your Kesuba, etc., etc. So the rabbi said, no. Vavkinu Rabbanu LeKiddushin. The rabbis went and retroactively uprooted his Kiddushin. And therefore, in this situation, Rabba says, this isn't that they were okay in the Torah. The original Kiddushin wasn't Chal. And therefore, no din in the Torah has been okay. The Tosos Yishonim over here has a very interesting idea. And he says, from here you could learn, possibly, that you could go and make a woman who never committed adultery, retroactively not commit adultery. Have the husband give her a get, and then have him nullify it, not in the presence of the shliach or the woman, before the woman gets it. And then the original kedushin would be nekar. So he points out that this is not allowed, except in this very, very specific situation here, but can't be used as a teretz under any other situation. In any event, Ravina over here now questions Rabba's answer, that you're telling me that this was the uprooting retroactively of kedushin and not uprooting a davar min haTorah. So I'm like Ravina Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi, wait a second. Hot day nach the Kaddish Mikasa. That works out great if they were Makadish with money, like the way you're supposed to be Makadish. But what happens if this person was Makadish's wife, Kaddish Bibiya? He actually had relations with her. How can you uproot that and say that that wasn't Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael? Michael and Neymar, what are you going to say in that situation? So Ravashi says back to Ravina, Shavu Rabbanu LeBilaso B'Ilasos. No, this wasn't a Kedushin Bia. We say that this was a purely a Zenus type of a bia. This wasn't a bia that could accomplish kiddushin. So just like with money, or with shtar, or with bia, kesef, shtar, or bia, all of them, the rabbis have the ability to uproot the original kiddushin, and therefore, you can't bring a raya of chista from here, that the chazal have the power to be oker dovim in the Torah. Tries again. Rav Chisda says, toshma, for the following braisa, Amr b'loz ben Yaakov, b'loz ben Yaakov says, others have the gear, so Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, in any event, this Tana says, Shamati, I have heard that Beis Din has certain extrajudicial powers that can sometimes even go against a dover, shenichta v'torah. Shabeis Din makin v'onshin, they're allowed to go and hit and punish, shalom in a Torah, something which on a Doraisa level they're not allowed to do, even though they're now going to be oker dover min haTorah by giving such lashes or such punishments. The low lavar al divrei Torah el lasus yog the Torah. And the reason why they're allowed to do this is because they're not intending to be over the Torah. They're really intending to protect the Torah. And this is a special unique circumstance that Beis Din has the power to be oker dover min haTorah under these situations. El lasus siog the Torah. This is to protect the Torah, to build a fence around the Torah. And he gives two examples. There once was a person, during the days of Yevonim, many people unfortunately were assimilating. And therefore, the rabbis had to address this. And there was one person who was only doing an Issa Derabbanan. To ride a horse on Shabbos is only an Issa Derabbanan, that maybe you come to go and pull off a branch from a tree and hit the horse. So therefore, the rabbi said, to prevent this, don't ride a horse on Shabbos. But mid d'oraisa, there's no issue in riding a horse on Shabbos. And this guy rode a horse on Shabbos, but because there were such problems with assimilation and such problems with people not taking Shabbos seriously, they have Yula Beis Din. When they brought this person to Beis Din, they gave him skila, uskalu, as if it was a din d'oraisa. So in other words, Beis Din killed this person, even though mid d'oraisa, he wasn't deserving to be killed. And you see that they were okay, dov min haTorah. Don't kill people, and Beis Din had the right to go and do this. Lo b'nation roi l'kach, not because he technically deserves skila, ella shashor tzrich l'kach, because this was a unique circumstance that the Beis Din felt. In order to preserve Shabbos, they had to go and go out on a limb here and do something drastic in order to get people to understand the seriousness of Rachmanu L'Tzlan being Mechal Shabbos. So they were okay, dovim in haTorah, do not kill, and they killed this guy. Similarly, there was another Maisa that said as follows. There was a man that had relations with his wife outside underneath a fig tree. In other words, this was something that was not sneeze. So the rabbi said, there's a real problem over here now with people not acting in a sneeze fashion. They rule a Beis Din, Vilku, and they run to Beis Din and give him Malkus. Again, technically, he didn't do anything wrong. There was no Isser, there was his wife. it wasn't a prohibited relationship, so therefore they gave him malchus, lo b'meishu roi l'kach, not because he deserved it, elo shashor tzrich l'kach. People were becoming a little bit more promiscuous and a little bit more lax in their observance of status. And the rabbi said, we have to set an example here, we have to go and do something that we're normally allowed to do. You're not allowed to hit somebody, so you're over in the derice of hitting somebody in a situation when you're not allowed to. Oh, along came Chazal, just like with the Skila case, they gave malchus over here because they felt it was necessary. So Rav Chisda says, you see clearly from here that you have a situation where based in the Chazal have the power to be Oker Dovim in HaTorah. So how does Rabbi answer this? Rabbi says, Migda Milso Shani. Again, these are analogous to what Eliyahu Navi did, that these were unique situations where there was a tremendous takola potential in Klai Yisrael with Hilchus Shabbos or with Hilchus Sneas, and the rabbi said, we have to set an example. So in those unique situations where the rabbis are doing Migda Milso, they're setting up a gate over here, they're putting a fence up around a sin that Rahman al Islam is becoming a real problem, so they have the right to do this. But in general, Rabbi tells Rav Chisda, you have no source in general that the Chachamim have the power to be Oker Dovim in HaTorah. Shev Yaltase, yes. Migdar Milsa, yes. Other situations that we pointed out in the last day and a half of this year, yes. But not as a general rule, the Chachamim don't have the power to Abru Dover in the Torah, Dover Shev HaTorah, and therefore your statement, Rav Chisda, is not supported. How the rabbis have the power to say that the children from the first husband, after the husband comes back, if she goes and lives back with the husband, how come the children are a mamzer? I asked Rav Willig Shlita, why not just use the general rule of Eis Lasos Lashem, if it was so secha, that under certain situations, the Chazal have the power to go and change something around. And they felt that this situation required that as well. So Rav Willig Shlita said that in this situation, we're talking here, the Rav Chisda was trying to find in the normal rules of the Torah a situation where Chachamim were Oker Dover min HaTorah, but not this, so to say, extrajudicial idea of Eis Lasos Hashem Efer Oso Secha, and therefore that's why that's not a teretz over here. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, we quote the Mishnah of Lo Zeh V'Zeh Mitamim Law, we say that neither the first or the second husband, if they are Kohanim, will be allowed to be Mitami to the woman, the second husband, because he's obviously not married to her, so therefore it's not one of the seven relatives. But why can't the first husband do this? Minola. So the Gemara says, because the pasuk tells us, the pasuk tells us that the kohen is only allowed to be metame for the seven relatives. And those seven relatives include l'sheiro zu ishto, that includes his wife. But then we have another pasuk that says, it says that the husband is not allowed to go contaminate himself for somebody that was lehechalo, who would be a desecration. So we seem to have a steer over here. Can he be mitame to his wife, or can he not be mitame to his wife? So the Gemara answers, yesh baal she mitame, yesh baal she ain't mitame. Sometimes the husband can be mitame to his wife, and sometimes he can't. When is that? Okay, it's that. If the wife's a kosher wife, mitame hu li ishto kisheira, then he's allowed to be mitame to his wife if she's a kosher wife. She was a permitted wife to him, and Nebuch, she passes away. So then, of course, the kohen can go and take care of the needs, Nebuch, of his wife who passed away. However, the Eino Metame, he's not allowed to be Metame if it was Leishto for his wife, there was Psula, that he wasn't allowed to marry. And in this situation, Nebuch, this Kohen, is no longer allowed to stay married to his wife. So therefore, if she passes away, he's not allowed to be Metame to her. Then we quote the Mishnah of Lo Vazeh Vazeh Zah, Kohen Mimitzios of Chulei. We said that the first and second husband are no longer entitled to her Mitzios. Normally, the husband's entitled to Mitzios of his wife. So why not? So Gemara says, Taima, what is the reasoning? My Omer Rabbona Mitzias Isha Lebala. Why do we say that if a woman finds something, that it automatically belongs to her husband? That's to make sure that there's love between them, that there's not hatred between them. The husband says, hey, listen, I'm supporting you, and now you find this this jewel and this diamond, and you're keeping it to yourself. So Kihechid Viltevi Le'eva. There shouldn't be Eva, hatred from him to his wife. How dare you? I'm supporting you, and now you're going and taking Mitzios that you find, and you're making the profit on them, and I don't get any share in it. So therefore, the rabbis wanted there to be a shalom bias situation, so they said that the Messiah of the wife belonged to the husband because he's supporting the wife. So here, we don't want the husband to support the wife. We want the husband to get rid of the wife. We want there to be Eva between them. So here, if the wife finds something, the husband's going to be very, very upset that he doesn't get any share of it, and it's going to spur him to go and divorce her, which is what we wanted to do in this Rahman al-Islam tragic situation. Then we said he likewise, he's not entitled to her handiwork. If she has an income, so normally the husband's entitled to her handiwork because he's supporting her. So the income is less than that she's making is less than what he supports her. So that's why he's entitled to her handiwork. So in this situation, why doesn't he get the handiwork? Because under normal circumstances, he supports her. That's why he's entitled to her handiwork. So he gives her $1,000 a week in support, and she makes $200 a week. So therefore, since he's overall giving her so much more than she's making, he's entitled to have what she's making. By the way, incidentally, if she's making more than that, she's allowed to say, I don't want your support, and I'll keep my own salary. She's allowed to do that. It's totally her choice. This is all for her benefit. In any event, in this situation, he doesn't supply her with mizonos. Since in this situation, he in fact doesn't go and support her, so therefore, she is entitled to her own ma'isi yodeh. Finally, the Gemara says, we quote the Mishnah, below mefer nedareh, the husband, neither husband has the right to go be mefer nedarim. So Gemara says, why? Taima, my omer rachmona bal mefer. What's the reason that a husband is normally allowed to be mefer nedarim of his wife? Kidei shel tizgana, in order that she shouldn't become in some way displeasant to him. She shouldn't make an edit. She's not allowed to use makeup. She's not allowed to use perfume. That's going to make her less pleasant and pleasing to her husband. So therefore, he has the right to be made for the nedarim that affect him. But in this situation, we're interested in her becoming unpleasant to him. Hocha tizgane v'tizgane. So here again, since we're interested in Nebuch in having this divorce occur, so anything that will spur that, we're in favor of. So therefore, he can't be made for a nedarim because those nedarim adversely affect him. We want them to adversely affect him, and therefore, he's not allowed to be made for her nedarim. And finally, the last thing we'll do for today's shiur, just to turn over to the Amud Aleph on Sadi, Aleph Amud Aleph, Haisa Bas Yisrael, Nifsla Ben Akuna V'chule. We said that if she was a Bas Yisrael, she's no longer allowed to go and marry a Kohen. So Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph, we say, Pshita, obviously, she's considered an adulteress. She's considered Zoni, as Rashi says in the top Rashi. So Gemara says, no, that wasn't the point that we really needed this for. We needed this for Baslevi min ha-maiser tzrichale. This is to tell us that she was a Baslevi, she can no longer go and eat Maiser Rishon. This goes according to the opinion of Rebbe, that says she's allowed to eat Maiser Rishon only as a Baslevi. Only a Levi can eat Maiser Rishon. So Gemara questions this and says, well, Baslevi min ha-maiser, mi mifsal ha-bisnus, where do we find that even if a Baslevi, Rachmana l'Islam, committed snus, that she loses the right? It's not like Truma that she loses the right. Where do we find that a Baslevi is not allowed to eat Maiser Rishon if she, Rachmana l'Islam, committed snus? Vatani, we learn the Braisa, Levio Shenishbeis, if Nebuch, Baslevi, a woman, was captured by enemies, oh, she never la bila znus. Well, we know for a fact that she had a znus type of relationship. Nevertheless, no sula maisa v'chalas. She's allowed to continue reading Maiser Rishon. So, even if you want to call her a zona in this situation, why would she not be allowed to eat Maiser Rishon? So our Rishesha tells us, no, this is a knas, kinosa. The rabbis instituted a knas over here. You're right, under normal circumstances, yes, but in this situation, we want her to be punished because she wasn't daika before she was mincevah. She didn't check it out well enough, and therefore, this is a knas that the rabbis instituted in this situation. With this, we conclude today's share.